KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 36 degrees, and we look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 63. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. The Cass County Board of Supervisors yesterday set March the 8th as the date for a public hearing on the county's fiscal year 2017-2018 budget. The proposed tax levy in the budget is roughly $5.23 per $1,000 valuation in the urban areas and $9.50 for the rural areas, both of which are a decline from last year. The board also reappointed Larry Randall as county weed commissioner after he passed his recent recertification test. His term is effective March of 2017 through February 2018. And they heard a report from Kareem Arimi with the Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and that was with regard to the renewal of the county's fiscal year 2018 group health insurance. Well, the Audubon County Emergency Management Agency wants to put out the word about a bridge replacement project that is slated to begin next month along Lark Avenue. County Coordinator Mike Jensen says the beginning week of the March 13th, contract crews will begin replacing a bridge in the 1900 block of Lark Avenue. The closure will be in effect until sometime this June. Lark Avenue will be closing just south of Audubon County Road F32 while contractors replace the bridge that's located in Leroy Township, Section 24. Construction, which again will begin on March the 13th, is expected to last about 65 working days. Therefore, residents and emergency responders should plan now for alternative routes in order to reach properties in the affected area. If you have any questions, you can contact the Audubon County Engineer's Office. A traffic stop Wednesday morning in Audubon County resulted in a man being arrested on drug charges. 55-year-old Robert Allen Griffith of Audubon was pulled over at around 2 a.m. on Highway 71 near 130th Street. Following an investigation and assistance from the K-9 Axle, Griffith was taken into custody for possession of marijuana, third offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was later released after appearing before a magistrate. Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported the arrest on Tuesday of 39-year-old Janet Lynn Hernandez. The Malvern woman was taken into custody at around 5:40 p.m. on a warrant for domestic abuse assault. Hernandez was being held without bond in the Mills County Jail. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that two women had been injured during a single vehicle rollover accident Tuesday afternoon about 4 miles north of Walnut. Officials say a 1999 Ford Explorer driven by Elsie Welsh was traveling north on Shelby County Road M47 near 400th Street at around 12:38 p.m. on Tuesday when the vehicle slipped off the traveled portion of the road and entered the east ditch. Welsh overcorrected, sending the SUV back across M47 and the west ditch, where it rolled several times before coming to rest on its wheels. Welsh and her passenger, Theodora Anthus, were transported by Walnut Rescue and Medevac Ambulance to Murtu Memorial Hospital for treatment. Shelby and Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Deputies, Harlan Police, the Iowa State Patrol, Walnut Fire and Rescue, and Elkhorn Fire all assisted at the scene. A man and woman from Lakeview died following a collision Tuesday morning between their pickup truck and a semi in western Iowa's Sac County. The State Patrol said yesterday the driver of the 2008 Dodge pickup, 73-year-old William Fuel, and his passenger, 65-year-old Peggy Behrens, died from injuries they suffered in the crash. Behrens, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene of the collision on Sac County Road M54 just after 8 a.m. Tuesday. William Fuel, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was flown from the scene to a local hospital, where he later died from his injuries. The driver of the semi was not injured. The patrol says Fuel was traveling north on M54 near 280th Street and rounding a curve on the frost-covered road when his pickup went out of control, crossed the center line, and was struck broadside by the semi. The accident remains under investigation. The Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a break-in occurred at the Platte Center Church in Creston and resulted in the theft of items valued at $165. Church officials reported the incident Monday morning after someone broke into the church sometime late Sunday night or early Monday morning. Among the items taken from the church was a metal World Globe Bank, a silver-plated communion set, and a baptismal bowl. And a Union County resident reported to sheriff's officials Monday morning that sometime during the night, someone had damaged his mailbox near the residence located at 1239 Highway 34. The mailbox was valued at $60. Elsewhere in state news, a special state investigation of the South Iowa Area Crime Commission finds the former leader of the organization that served 15 counties misused its credit cards. State Auditor Mary Mosman said her office was called in to investigate the credit card use of former Executive Director Matt Murphy.
Our investigation identified little over $13,000 of improper and unsupported credit card charges, interest, and late fees. The $13,162 of improper charges identified included personal purchases made at convenience stores, retail vendors, and grocery stores. And it also included meal costs that exceeded the authorized per diem amount.
Mosman said the overall loss of dollars to the commission was well below the amount of improper purchases.
Though Mr. Murphy did provide payment on most of these personal purchases made with the commission's credit card, the commission did ultimately pay for a little over $1,100 of Mr. Murphy's personal expenditures.
The commission provides transportation for juveniles to and from the South Iowa Area Detention Service Agency in Montrose, and its office is in Fairfield. It's governed by a 15-member board with a representative from each of the member counties, and its office is in Fairfield. She says the commission had rules for using the credit cards, but they allowed Murphy to break the rules.
We do want to make sure that government entities have policies in place preventing the use of public resources for personal benefit, and then they must follow those policies. And especially at the top, the executive director should be the one leading those efforts.
Mosman says the $1,000 in personal expenses that were not reimbursed by Murphy may not seem like a lot, but she says ignoring the rules can open an organization up for many more problems. The organization serves Adair, Davis, Des Moines, Lee, Henry, Jefferson, Keokuk, Mahaska, Monroe, Wapello, Louisa, Poweshiek, Van Buren, Washington, and Wayne counties. Mary Mosman said the results of the investigation have been turned over to the Division of Criminal Investigation, the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, and the Attorney General's Office, and she says that is a standard practice when a misuse of government funds is identified. Well, parents are pushing a Western Iowa school board to keep their elementary school open despite years of falling enrollment. The proposed closing of the Crescent Elementary School in Pottawatomie County attracted a packed crowd to the local school board meeting on Tuesday. Community members asked the school board to delay making a decision, which is anticipated at the board's meeting on February 28th. A group of about 35 people hopes to work with the Council Bluffs Community School District on possible ways to save the school. Superintendent Martha Bruckner said past efforts to boost the school's enrollment had failed. She asked school board members to consider what they'll do next year and the year after if the school remains open and enrollment drops even more. Well, the University of Nebraska Medical Center is now running a low-vision satellite clinic in Sioux City. Dr. John Shepard with the Omaha Hospital Center for Visual Rehabilitation says low vision affects many hundreds of Iowans.
Low vision is vision loss that cannot be corrected with regular glasses, medical, or surgical treatments, and is severe enough to interfere with a person's ability to perform daily activities such as reading, shopping, and writing. The most common causes of low vision are macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma.
Dr. Shepard explains how the new clinic in Northwest Iowa will serve clinics.
At the initial visit, your visual goals will be identified, and a low vision physician will determine the devices and training activities that will help you to meet these goals. Subsequent visits with an occupational therapist may help you to maximize the use of your remaining vision and lead a more independent life.
He says the new clinic will be serving a wide spectrum of patients with low vision issues.
If you are having difficulty with activities like reading, driving, seeing the television, or managing your finances, our low vision professionals can help you to develop visual skills, adaptive strategies, and use optical devices such as magnifiers to better participate in your favorite activities.
The National Institutes of Health estimates 3.2 million Americans have low vision, and the number is projected to double by 2050 with the aging population. Most people with low vision are over the age of 65. The University of Nebraska Medical Center also runs low vision clinics in Omaha, Lincoln, and Hastings in Nebraska. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.